December 29, 2021, it's the Watt for Pedro Show.
The test was for me. That's what it was for. You know, they could do what they want to do. The thing was for me to remain firm in what I was doing. But that was a funny time, particular period in my life, because I went through quite a few changes, you know, like the home life, everything, man. I just went through everything I was doing.
The perfect wrong time to hit you.
everything I was doing, she liked it.
Yeah.
But it was a hell of a test for me, and coming out of it, it's just like I always said, man, when you go through these crises and, like, you come through them, I come out of them, you're definitely strong.
Yeah, if you know, in a great sense,
yeah.
Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Started off the show with John Coltrane talking to Frank Kosky, November 66, about test was for him. He's talking about some character development, people, and not blaming others, but taking it on the chin to do something about it. Then we had Flying Sutra with Elk 2. And because of them Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me George Dargan. Dragons.
That's correct.
That's right.
Yeah,
Brother George. And we got to thank Brother Stevie Bono for making the connect.
Yep.
Yeah, very much ingratitude.
He's a good egg. He's a good egg.
He's a good egg. His daddy was a butcher, he told me. Look,
yep.
And he wanted him in the butcher business, but Stevie got into music. So, well, sorry for the meat industry, but I'm glad for the music industry. Okay. Interested in your journey through music, so please bring your earliest musical recollection, please, George.
Well, I would have to say probably, you know.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years old, my parents had like a really cool old German Telefunken radio. And I remember they were really into listening to their classical music. So that's probably my earliest thing is that they were really into it. They got like a shortwave radio hookup so they could listen to radio stations from Germany, because that's where they basically hailed from, you know.
I gotta tell people, funk in German is radio, people.
Yeah.
It's not the form of music that we developed over here with the help of Mr. Jim Brown.
and then when it came to actually playing music, my neighbor, Brandon Key, who actually, like, he's a musician too, he was taking Suzuki violin lessons, and I thought that was really cool. So that was like my initial.
I want to get into this.
Yeah.
So this pad you grew up in, for sure you had a bitchin' fucking shortwave radio. But was there also any musical instruments?
Well, my sister played flute and piccolo.
Older or younger?
She was older.
Okay, so there was a piccolo and
yep.
flute player in the pad.
Yeah.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
With my own money, it was probably, oh, geez.
It you know, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so that's why I asked that question.
Yeah, it was probably like Dream Police, a 7-inch. I bought at Kmart.
Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick, yeah.
Okay, okay. Probably, and the first gig you went and saw?
First gig I went and saw that was memorable was probably Fang.
San Francisco
Wasted
band.
Talent and Crucifix. That's what changed my life okay. at the Hub Ballroom in at Penn State University in State College, Pennsylvania.
Crucifix, they were kind of like a crass band, but I think from the city, yeah. like Fang.
Yeah. That was my formidable musical moment.
So your first gig was a punk gig? Oh, wow.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, not, I saw...
Well, it depends when you're born, right? Because... Like me and Deepwood's first gig was T-Rex. I mean, we didn't know about clubs yet, right? Until
yeah,
it's all arena rock. What yeah, about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
Yeah, I was early on. I was like, it was mandatory that if you were playing an instrument, like I played trombone in the school.
Boom, that's bass class.
Yeah. Yeah, I was awful at it, and
AJ Johnson.
I was really, really bad at it, and the teacher knew I was taking Suzuki violin simultaneously.
Oh, yeah, here's the buddy. Okay, here's the buddy. This is a parallel universe. This has nothing to do with school. This cat just lived near you. And we should. Yep. I've had some people on the show before who did this. It's some intense kind of program to get you with violin, right?
Yeah. It's basically you learn how to play right away by ear. Which is kind of cool, but at the same time, I mean, with me personally, I don't know. I think it's just like I couldn't learn how to read music for the longest time.
But you said by ear.
Yeah, like Suzuki was all by ear.
It was kind of designed for you.
Yeah, it was okay, designed for like.
I understand. And you know, it still must be hard as fuck.
Yeah, totally.
So did you do a Suzuki school?
I stuck with the violin for, I think like 4 or 5 years. I was okay at it. You know, there were some prodigies that were way better than I was.
Sure. So I understand now the teacher knows you're doing a parallel universe, to the school system.
Yeah. Yep. The school orchestra, band leader, she wanted me to play in the orchestra. And I think she got me in there for a year and. Then, you know, by that time I was, you know, how do I put this nicely? I turned into like a punk rock slacker. And, you know, by the time I think I was like in seventh grade, 12 or 13 years old.
Yeah.
I started getting into, you know, skateboarding and punk rock. So.
And you must have fucking got a guitar.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I traded a crappy BMX bike for like a Flying V guitar, and I couldn't play it to save my life, but I was still, you know, dabbling.
Because with the violin's in fifths.
Yep. Right. Yeah, violin's all, you know, no chords, you know, yeah. It's reverse tuning, like the G string's the low string, you know.
Right, and when you move up a string, it's every fifth interval instead of fourth, so the notes aren't as close and more dramatic in the jumps.
Yeah.
So what'd you do? Did you do the teacher thing or autodidact?
Actually I did. I took guitar lessons from like this awful old hippie who had like a ponytail and stuff. And like, he was like, hey, bring in some songs that you want me to teach you. And I was like, okay. So I brought in like a Big Boys song.
I love Big Boys.
Yeah. I love the Big Boys because it was the first, like I got that Thrasher Skate Rock tape.
Right, they skate, and they also played funk for a punk band.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay, so, right? Contortions were already doing that for years.
Yeah, so I brought in a song that they, you know, that I think it was Red Green.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought that in. It's like, here, teach me how to play this. And he was like, this is the worst fucking song I've fucking heard. And it's just like, and he's just like going on.
People got to know about the attitudes in those days towards the movie. Dude. They were such bullshit, wasn't it?
Such bullshit. It was so hard to like, you know, especially in state college, it was like, you know, Penn State football, you know, really conformity and like, you know, on top of that, you had like the awful rednecks coming down off the mountain with like their FFA jackets ready to beat the shit out of you.
Right. And you know, it's funny, a couple years later, you know, they got painted fingernails and shit.
So, yeah, exactly.
Humans are motherfuckers, I'll tell you.
And I'll throw this in there, like back then also, this is pre Metallica, so like the Hessian dudes, like who grew up like listening to like Judas Priest and stuff, they wanted to beat the shit out of you too because you were a punk rock faggot.
Right.
Until Metallica started wearing like Misfits shirts, then they're like, "Oh, that's cool."
It's so funny to see the tail wag the dog. I mean, the way motherfuckers and peer pressure and all that shit and all. Finally, when you grow up, you get free of that. It's you don't even realize it's a ton of shit off your fucking back.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Look, you gave me some music here, George. I want to play.
Thank you. reflecting from wall to wall. Thank you.
The headphones that you are supposed to be on the
that I had simply imagined the whole thing in a dream. That's all it was. Just a dream.
After an adventure and after a short while. We were kissing outside the red door, the red door.
On a Tuesday. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Started that chunk of music out. I made the corrections, people, so I got right with George. Figure 6 in 8. No, figure 6, 8, and G.
That's correct.
Is it 6-8, the timing?
Yeah, 6-8, the timing.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a 3-4, people.
It's kind of
like a waltz. They call it jazz swing and a waltz. Okay.
Yeah.
But John Coltrane calls, still calls, because when you hear favorite things, right, they say 6-8. No, John Coltrane said 3. Secular fusionists. And then after that, Nivhek from Entry. That's from the last guest, last episode. Liz Harris. Thud after that. We Need Each Other. Bombas Prendon with Bedouin Breakfast. Calamar Hotel. The Red Door. Walking Back After an Adventure from Puppet. Oh, there's some stuff out of England. Puppet Midnight. Then Crushed by Pimps, Benjamin Refuses, Tom Moody, and the All, New Greatest Hits Band, Some Words, and then brand new from Primitive Ignorant, featuring Katie Caboose, Crystal World, finally, Tidy Whitey, Brown Star.
There you go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some, you know, I didn't know what order to put the tunes in, okay, so.
Yeah, no problem.
You know what I think it did, George? I went from shortest to longest.
There you go.
Okay.
That's fine.
Right. There's got to be method to some fucking madness. Wise guy. So back to your story. So you got the Flying V. You didn't tell me about the amp.
The what?
Amplifier.
Oh, my first amp?
Correct.
Yeah, hello. You out there?
Correct.
Okay. Well, my first amp. Jeez. I think...
Look, it's Watt for Pedro Show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Yeah, I think it's it was a Fender Champ.
Okay, so big 15 water. All right.
Yeah, yeah, with no distortion. So I was like getting, you know, I was just like, okay.
No,
well,
it was like me and D. Boone. How do they get that sound on the records?
Yep. So no distortion, but, you know, I kind of, you know, stopped taking guitar lessons from that Rube.
Yeah.
After, like, you know, and then I send him, I brought him an SSD song, Society Systems D Control song, and that was like, they were just like, there's no verse or chorus, like, this song is awful too, like, you guys, it's Ringo. Like, what are you doing to me?
And who's the guitar man? Big Al, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Big Al. Used to beat the shit out of Spring all the time. Look, what about after school? Not graduate, but in the afternoon. The bedroom band, the basement band, the garage band.
I got into that. Like,
tell
my my friends, the Begnal brothers, Tony and Mike Begnal, were early punk rock pioneers in the town, and they kind of basically saw that I was getting into skateboarding and, like, you know, doing, like, the punk rock thing, and they said, hey, you're going to play bass for our band. I was like, okay.
Bass.
So I traded the guitar and picked up a bass, bought a Cort bass.
Now, you traded it. You mean you got rid of that Flying V?
I got rid of the Flying V, and I got a Cort bass. And I was stoked because I knew Chuck Dukowski played a Cort bass for a while.
A little bit.
And,
he's mainly a Fender man. But actually, he had a Flying V Ibanez bass for a little bit.
Awesome.
And right
awesome.
At the beginning. And remember, he had that band before that called Worm.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Big fan of Worm. All the SST stuff. I love that stuff.
Oh, respect.
So, yeah. So anyway, we started playing in a band called Positive Hate, and started playing like the State College Basement Circuit, which was pretty hopping at the time. Like, the scene was pretty cool back then because, like, we had, like, mods in the town, we had rockabilly cats in the town, we had, like, hardcore dudes. So there were always, like, pretty happening parties and pretty hip people.
And you're not really playing clubs. You're playing pads.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. College towns were, I mean, basement shows were where it's at.
Yeah.
There were no clubs, really. I mean, there were like,
I was torn. I was playing. There's some stuff on South Street and right downtown.
Yep.
And there was something by the water called Opera House for a little bit. I mean, there was Pontiac Club. So you're right, though. But I always made room for Philly in some way or another.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually talking about my hometown of State College, Pennsylvania.
Oh, so yeah, that's right, in the middle of the state, people.
Yeah, middle of the state.
And the closest I got to that was probably, what's it, it's called, starts with an L. What's in the middle?
There's Lewisburg.
Pennsylvania Turnpike as you're coming. God, it used to be
Lancaster?
Yeah, Lancaster. It used to be the western frontier of the country, right, at one point. Yep. That's the closest I got to State College.
Yeah. Well, you didn't miss much.
And then there's Amish towns around there, like called Blue Ball and the Intercourse.
Pennsylvania's got some wacky town names, that's for sure.
Everybody, all the places do. We got one called Weed. Anyway. Could sell a lot of kits, right?
Anyway, so
you're talking about, okay, because it's a college town, so there's a lot of young people with nothing to do. Yep. Because that is kind of out in the boondocks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
for sure.
You guys had to make your own thing. Let me tell you about ask you about Positive Hate. Were you guys writing your own songs?
Yep. Just like right into it.
And what about you? Being the bass player,
I contributed to a few songs, not many back then. I remember I had a song called Violence Man, you know, all this, you know, this teenage angst and
absolutely
tough guy stuff, you know.
And how did you learn bass? Did you learn stuff off records?
Trial by fire. Okay. It was like, it was just like, all right, you're on bass, start playing. I'm like, okay.
I got to ask you, the amp.
I was borrowing, I think it was a basement, because there were other bands in the same practice space in the Begnals basement.
Okay.
So I think it was a basement.
Oh, that's right, because you don't really form the band. You join these guys' band, right?
I joined these guys, you know. Then that band, you know, kept doing that for a while, and that kind of evolved into another band that was called Heart of Darkness.
Ah.
Yeah.
Great Pere Ubu song and also book by Joseph Conrad.
Yeah. And
also the basic plot of Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, exactly.
Which led to another movie, Michael Cinema, Chimino with Deer Hunter, which is the west part of the state.
Yeah. And, you know, eventually I kind of lost interest in like playing with that band, Heart of Darkness, and me and the other guitar player, this guy Len Jarabek, we formed another band, an offshoot of that, called Slag. And we wanted to do more of like a post-rock thing before we knew what post-rock was. Because
Heart
of Darkness,
I still don't know what it is.
Yeah, Heart of Darkness was getting a little, how do I say this nicely, getting a little too, you know, butt rockish.
Sunset Boulevard.
Yep, exactly.
It calls it butt rock.
Yeah. So it was
I think
like,
he has a song called Butt Rock.
Yeah, which, you know.
No, it's accurate.
Whatever, I mean, some of that has its moments, but it was just like, you know, I'm not that into cars and girls and stuff like that.
And the thing was, as soon as you saw it, you know what was next. See, there was no surprise factor.
Exactly.
You know, it's still music, and music's music, but that's what's lame about those kind of things. They're too predictable. It's almost by the numbers and shit.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I wanted to do – I always, like, my driving force with, like – the thing I – like, when I saw, like, Crucifix and Fang and, like, Wasted Talent, which was the opening band, which was a local band – that was part of the members of Positive Hate were in Wasted Talent first. But when I saw that stuff, to me, that was avant-garde music. And it was so freeing and so new and fresh. And the amps sounded bad, you know, in a good way. Everyone had their own sound. And it was just, like, so dynamic. I wanted to carry on with that. I wanted to always, you know, push the envelope musically after that.
So what do you do after Slag?
Well, that's when, I was in a band called Denora for a while, and then a band before that called T4, and those were like, that's like at the tail end of the 80s, early 90s, and then, those all were pretty short-lived, and then, I ended up playing with Don Caballero briefly.
That drummer man,
Damon. Yeah.
Yep. He was kind of a buttload, right?
Yeah, he was a
character. I mean, he can play like a motherfucker, but
yeah.
On the personal politics, a little heavy.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely the guy had some personality issues,
right,
you know.
Right. But he was exciting to watch. I can imagine getting to play with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, for a while, I mean, I was only in there in that band for like 6 months, but I did do a short tour with them, and
you know what? That's probably your introduction to math rock.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that was like, well, incidentally, the guitar player for Slag was a founding member of Don Caballero, so that was my connection in.
So he was tired of butt rock too.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Banfield was one of the two guitar players in Slag. The other one was Len Jarbeck, and so he was my line in. So they kind of knew I could play that sort of way because, like, Slag was very, like, you know, post-Rocky at the time. And so that kind of, like, set my direction, you know.
Right, right. And, speaking of direction.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the first hour on the December 29, 2021 edition of the Watt Pedro Show.
There you
Special
go.
Special guest, George Dragons.
Yes.
Tight for hour two.
Yep.
So December 29, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Second hour, people, it's Deja Vu all over again. You're hearing Brown Star, but not by Tidy Whitey. You're hearing it by the Secular Fusionists.
That's right.
So after that was Burns, Kaloa, Heward with BCH Le Never 2, Quebecois, huh, from Montreal. And so pardon my fucking up. Language, I don't mean to. And then Secular Fusionist with the Jericho Strut. Now, enlighten us, George, the difference between the tunes are the same, but the bands are different. And in fact, I don't remember you mentioning Tidy Whitey. I remember Slade, no, I remember Positive Hate.
Yeah, no, well, that was the band name is actually Brown Star, not to confuse you, and the song was Tidy Whitey.
Okay, so, that was a labeling thing.
Yep.
I can only go by what people
on my
think.
End. I apologize. And Brown Star was like this.
So you named, you wrote a song that was named after this band that did Tidy
Whitey.
That's
correct.
Okay, I got it now.
Yep. Now you got it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
So.
Still, we need more enlightenment. Bring it.
Yeah, well.
Brown Star in the timeline of the arc of your career.
Yeah, well, Brown Star was this band that was kind of like my holiday hometown heroes. Whenever I'd go back to State College, I'd play with this old drummer I played with in Slag, Neil Whitmer, and these three brothers, the Boujay brothers, Matt and, and his two other brothers, I'm a little nervous now, but we'd get together and just record the jams, and that was one of them. And so I dedicated a song to those guys because I love those guys so much.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So.
Well, so, you were saying you joined Don Cavalera, but it's only 6 months. Yeah. Is this around the time when you leave State College?
Yeah. I moved to Pittsburgh. To be committed to the band. That didn't last too long.
I don't mean to laugh, George.
Like,
I don't mean to laugh.
Fine. Yeah, the tour was fine, but then once they started to practice back from the tour, you know, it was like things got a little hectic, and I was just like, man, you know, I'm taking a lot of abuse here and I'm not getting paid for it. You know, I was working a shitty temp job and I was just like, shit, you know, I'm not getting paid to do this. And, you know, I really am not feeling like connected to the band because they did this weird thing where they were like, well, you may or may not be in the band. You know, we'll see, you know, we'll try out because they had like their quote revolving door unquote policy of bass players. So it was just like, kind of like that rock, you know, treat the bass player like.
Or kind of like toilet paper, like we can use you once.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, you know, there were a lot of like laughable perimeters that I had to like adhere to. Like I wasn't allowed to play with my fingers. You know, I had to play with a pick and like I had to have the indie rock sound, which was like chasing David William Sims. Like,
his
bass sound. It had to be his bass
sound. Yeah, but his bass sound was based on Tracy Pugh from The Birthday Party.
Yep. So it had to be in that. It had to be like that trebly, really like.
Right, and a big cut in the low mid.
Yeah, which is cool, but. Yeah,
but you know, it's already their sound. It's already their sound, yeah.
You know, and.
You know what's funny, too, George? That fucking slogan, I mean, well, I guess it is a slogan, but like the belief was supposed to be anarchy, let your fly free fly fly.
Yeah.
And you're talking about all these rules.
No. And that was generally like my experience with playing with them. I met a lot of like horrible indie rock people in the 90s, like on that tour. It was an eye opener. I was just like, in the 90s, it seems like all of that like hardcore tradition kind of like, all of a sudden, people were like, wait a minute, I can make money doing
this.
That's
right, yeah. You know, you can call yourself whatever, but the way you act is actually how you are.
Yeah, and it was just like...
The People's Republic of whatever. Look, if you don't act that way, it ain't one. And the same goes for that shit that went down in the 90s. I know exactly what you're talking about, George.
Yeah, because I remember like one specific thing that was with that. One specific incident, which was laughable, was like I was on tour with Don Cavalero and we playing in Louisville, Kentucky. And that was the first time I met our booking agent who was booked the tour. And so I like go up to her. She never met me. And I was just like, hey, I'm George. How are you doing? And she's like, yeah. So who the heck are you? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I was just like, wow. Okay. So, you know, then she sees me setting up on stage with the band and she comes running up. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you were playing with the band. Oh, I'm sorry. I was such a dick to you early. It's like, okay, cool. Well, you made your first impression. You know,
at least she said she was sorry, but you know, that spells, that's four letters that spell what to me? Jive, you know?
Yeah.
I'm
totally.
So sorry you had to go through that, George. Let's play some more Secular Fusionists.
Yes.
Flatfoot.
There you go.
Soup. Soup. They want soup.
man. It's just like, that's not where it kind of killed it off a little bit. You know, I mean, it's such a strange time for music now, but ever since like the early aughts, like 2000, like you had all this nice technology come out where you could make a really nice digital recording, but now you can't sell the stuff, you know? So it's like a cosmic, like, balancing. It's like,
But at least it came back. Maybe separated the wheat from the chafe. You know, a farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. So I said, bring it.
Yes, exactly.
Let's tell the people. We just heard a chunk of music started off secular fusionists doing Flatfoot, then Babes New York City. Worst band name in the world, but I like their tunes. Fried Chicken, Niagara with Seven from their new record. Practice Tape from Treacherous Jaywalkers, 1984, probably at Quinn's house. Meat Puppets Influence Song. That's a great title. You know, why not? Oh, up, right? Race Shit after that, Gregory Hines Overdrive, and finally, Introduction to Improvisation, Form and Mess. Now, we've heard a lot of secular fusions, so I want to know about how that got happening. But what is Form and Mess?
Form and Mess was playing bass. I wrote all the songs, like I wrote all the heads, and then it was me and Kevin Shea on drums and my guitar teacher at the time, Nick Milivoj, playing guitar.
Nick Milivoj. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, awesome. So you didn't give up on teachers with, you know, because of ponytail, right? Okay.
No. No. I studied with Nick for, I think, like 5 years, and then he kind of got like on the upswing. And he's the editor of Premier Guitar now, I think.
Yeah.
Magazine. And,
sure, sure.
I've done
some spiels for them.
Yeah.
So how does secular? Well, tell me, after the Pittsburgh drama, what, you go east to Philly?
Yeah. Well, the Pittsburgh drama. Then, like, after, I think simultaneously when Don Caballero happened, that was like, you know, when I started playing with Kevin Shea, in Storm and Stress with Ian from Don Caballero, and that kind of like didn't go anywhere for a long time. So I kind of bailed. I kind of was like mentally not in a good place. Like I didn't really ever jive with like the Pittsburgh scene really. So I was kind of like, I eventually, and then I got back into, like, I kind of took a hiatus from my skateboard, but then I got back into it. And so I started traveling to, Rutland, Ohio to skate, Bruce Martin's, Skatopia Bowl. And I hooked up with my Philly friends, and then they were my reason for moving to Philadelphia, because they offered me a better paying job, because I was framing houses for like no money in Pittsburgh. And so that's what led me to Philadelphia.
Okay. And is this where the secular fusionists come from?
That is. Yep. That's my most recent project.
And can you tell me, can you remember the first secular fusionist gig?
Yeah, that's easy. There never really were any. I mean, there was like Kyle, the saxophone player, and, myself would do like a light version of just me and him. And we played a couple gigs.
You were still on bass, or have you moved to guitar yet?
Yeah, I was playing guitar.
Okay. When did you make that move? In Ohio?
I made that move when I was, playing with Flying Sutra, which was in the early 2000s in Philadelphia with my good buddy Bob Cozzolino.
Okay. So when you come to Philly, you put down the bass. Okay.
Not intentionally. So I tried playing with, with Flying Sutra. Initially, we had another guitar player playing, and he flaked. And so I kind of picked up the guitar.
Yeah, came to the rescue.
Because I was dabbling with it too to try and write, because it's really hard to write on bass.
I do it all the time. I think it's a future bass. Gotta
rephrase it. It's hard to get people to listen to what you're writing on bass.
Some people, Nels Klein loves it. We're at the end of the second hour, December 29, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, George Dragons. Hold tight for hour three. December 29th, 2021. It's the third hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
Soup. Soup. They want soup.
Watford Pedro show start off the third hour. Flying Sutra again, like we start off the show. Well, near the start. Sagittarius 4, Flying Sutra. Lots of Sag. I'm the last day, right?
Yep.
What do you call that? A centaur with the bow in his hand. And then yep. Space padlocks with King and Country. This is a tribute to the TV personality, that funny man out of England. Victoria Shen after that. Going to play with her tomorrow night in the city. A couple tunes. Am I missing that? Self-scratching record, and then SLW plus Bob Bucko Jr., brand new from them, Listen to Your Dreams, out of Iowa. Iowa City with Sam Lockward, Bob Bucko out of Dubuque. And Form and Mess again, with Three Heads, mm-hmm. And This Is You, Man Alone.
What's that?
Form and Mess.
Yeah.
Is there anybody playing with you? It's just you?
No, Form and Mess is me, Kevin Shea, and Nick Melavoy.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
It's the next block of music where you play by yourself.
Yep. Oh,
sorry. You know, 20 years, 6 months of doing the show, and I'm still blowing fucking clams. So the problem with getting a band together when you get back to Philly is it's hard to play? Or what? Tell me about the situation.
Oh, man, I wish I knew. I mean, I don't know if it's my charming personality or just like, I don't know. I never really got any traction in this town. And, you know, I'm out here, but, you know, I guess it's my fault because I don't really do much on the social media thing. But, you know, I don't know. It's I've had a really tough time, like, maintaining relationships, musical relationships in this town. You know, guys moved away.
You told me Secular Fusion started in the Philly. So how'd that happen?
Yeah, I mean, that happened I was playing with Kyle, the saxophone player, Kyle Press, very talented, awesome dude, in this, like, free jazz get-together thing called The Spectrum, where we would do, like, I think there were, like, 15 of us rotating around, like, in different get-togethers. I think Nick Milivoj and Dan Blacksburg organized that. Two friends of mine that are awesome musicians, like Dan Blacksburg's like a Pew fellow, plays trombone, amazing. I think he teaches at Temple now, university. And anyway, that's how I met Kyle. And I was just like, I'm going to hit him up to see if he wants to play with me. And then I was playing with another awesome musician at the time.
Maybe last John Coltrane's last gig was at Temple.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. And so anyway, I kind of absorbed Kyle into Van Sutra, which was a kind of offshoot of Flying Sutra with a new drummer, Julius Mastry, amazing drummer. I think he teaches at Temple now too. Or has some association with Temple University. But that kind of, we made a recording and that kind of like didn't go anywhere. And, you know, everyone kept saying they were too busy to get together and practice. So that kind of did like an organic, you know, dissolve and not really happening sort of thing anymore. So then, out of that, the Secular Fusion just were formed and now they're pretty much in the same place. Like, I can't get a hold of anyone. You know, there is a pandemic going on, but.
Yeah, of course.
So it's kind of, it's extra tough with the pandemic. So I think a lot of people are kind of like, you know, scared and burned out and, you know, and I think I might be a little too, type A. Like, if I want something to happen, I'll let you know it for sure. You know, you know,
well,
and I don't think.
Okay. Here's Man Alone then. You call them solo dabblings in this tune, Flaxen Bodies Loop Live Version.
Yep.
Let's hear it.
recording now.
Watt for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Flax and Goddess Loop Live Version. Jordan Dragons, 2021 Solo Dablets. Then we had Trubacuva Christian, Pesci. Live at Club Coca and Split 2015. Veristala, yay. And in Slovenian, that's she was screaming. Then Tripod Jimmy, which was Tom Herman from Perubu with a Pittsburgh poet named Lenny. I can't remember the drummer man's name, but Set of Danger's a tune. And Thurston Moore plus John Maloney doing Unsupervised. And finally, Secular Fusionist Dragons Express slash, right?
Yeah.
Love Grabs.
That's it.
Okay. Let's start at the beginning here. The Solo Dablets. Now, it says live version. This was a gig?
No, well, I mean, I did the loop live and played everything in one take. So that's my version of live, because nobody wants to hear my shit.
Okay, and then Secular Fusionists, we know about them, but
yeah,
what is it combined with Dragon Express?
Well, that's just me and Kyle.
So it's like a smaller version of the
second. Smaller version, yep. And that was like just a live practice that Kyle recorded. And, you know, his playing was like exceptional that day. So he's like, I'm going to put this out. You know, and I was like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
And he put it out. And, yeah, I think it turned out pretty good.
Now, the frustration of getting cats to play with you versus you.
Yes.
Having a need to compose and make music. Have you been doing that in your power? Are you making tunes, tapes, demos, or whatever?
I actually have like a backlog of songs, you know, with click tracks and everything ready for a drummer if anyone's interested. Because I've got a lot of feelers out right now, but nobody's buying what I'm selling. So,
well, look, let's put it out right now. Give an email address people could write if they want to play with you.
Yeah, it's George Dragons.
Okay, spell that.
GEORGEDRAGUNS at Verizon.net.
VERIZON.net.
Yep.
People.
Yep.
And if you want to play with George here, and he's already got the tunes, he just needs the bodies and the minds
and the
souls and the spirits.
You know, especially, you know, I love saxophone players.
Oh,
you
man.
Know, I'd love to, you know, play with more saxophone players.
But
you know,
also need a drummer, a stick man with a beat in his hand,
stick
right?
Stick man, yep. And let's, let's make some jazzmatazz.
Right. Yeah. And you say you ain't giving up on the bass, you're just playing a lot of guitar also.
Yeah, I would prefer, you know, to play bass, you know, and I would love to be absorbed into someone else's project too. You know, I'm obviously a pretty crappy band leader. So, you know, I mean, I would love to step in on somebody's project. You know, if they'll have me, I can play guitar or bass.
But maybe
you
were a band member just running into some bad luck with band members.
Yeah. I mean, just like, you know, I mean, how do I put this nicely? I mean, there's a lot of, we're living in the age of dabbling. And I think a lot of people are just like passing through, and I'm kind of the opposite of that. I'm kind of like, you know, really obsessive about my stuff to the point of like making myself nauseous. But, you know, I'm still active musically. I started playing, started studying with like, this guy, John Marcel Williams, playing classical guitar.
Oh, you got a nylon string.
Yeah. I'm trying to work on my right hand technique and
arpeggiation stuff.
Yeah. And
thumb
I figured
gets, thumb gets to the bass note and the other three, four fingers.
You got it. Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. So yeah. I figured that'll keep me sane. I made a commitment to myself that it's like, you know, I got to keep playing. I got a lot of music. You know, I got a lot of years in the music thing that I don't want to just throw it away, because that happens to a lot of people.
Oh, I've seen it happen. In fact, a Philly cat, Amin Ali, Rashid's son, gave up bass.
Yeah.
I saw the old Minutemen got to play with James Blood Ulmer. He was on the bass.
Awesome.
Calvin, Calvin, he was Weston. He was only like 17 or 18. He was on the drums. And
that's
I
amazing.
Heard that Amin just gave up on the bass, and he was great.
Yeah. I just saw, I mean, recently, one of the pre-COVID shows I saw was Calvin Weston and Vernon Reed and Jamaladeen Takuma,
yeah. Oh, wow. I saw him with Ornette Coleman in primetime.
Dude, he was. I
broke a string in the first tune and didn't even change it. Played the rest of the gig with three strings.
Yeah. It was interesting. It's funny. He lives in Philly, and like right before the pandemic hit, he was at the Whole Foods, and I saw him. And it's like, you know what? I'm gonna go say hi to Jamaladeen. And so I said, "Hey, Mr. Takuma, how are you doing? I'm a big fan of yours. I've seen you play a bunch of times. I saw you at Bob and Barbara's," and he was like, "Oh, that's cool. Are you a player?" And I was like, "Yeah." And so I gave him, you know, we exchanged numbers, and I gave him the Form and Mess stuff and, you know, a link to that. And he called me back in like half an hour and said, "Look, you're going to play the Outsiders Festival." And
wow.
And I was just like, wow, I'm stoked, you know. And then the pandemic hit, and it was all over with, and I lost contact with him.
Oh, fuck. But, man, respect to Mr. Takuma for, like, putting it out like that. In a half hour. That was... George, when you do get something, will you come back on the show and we can play and talk about it? Okay.
That's of course.
I love your spirit to keep on keeping it. They keep knocking you down, but you keep getting back up.
Yeah, too dumb to quit is my motto.
big love, brother. Yes. People, it's been December 29, 2021. Disrupt Pedro. She'll keep your powder dry.